Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons.
And today we are covering the Armorer Artificer.
Welcome, adventurers, to the Dungeon Cast.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How you doing?
I'm solid, man. How are you?
I am doing great because Summer of the Artificer continues.
Yes,
and on the Dungeon Cast.
This one will be just as solid as me.
Yes, it's so solid.
Yeah, the armor, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, good summer, hot, but we got our insulation done,
so
that helped a lot.
It's much more pleasant within the studio.
It is. I'm not sweating my balls off.
We have made it to the final Artificer subclass available to the public in this year of our Fiend 2022.
That's right. That's right, baby.
Some artificers build mechanical pets. Some artificers build firearms and cannons. And some brew potions and elixirs. Well, today's artificer built an arc reactor in a cave with a box of scraps.
Yeah, baby.
That's right. If Tony Stark was a D&D character, he would be an armorer artificer. I am not sure about the origins of this subclass, historically speaking, but I have a hard time believing it's not just literally D&D's take on Iron Man.
I mean, it seems right there.
Yeah.
Especially the OG first cave Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's get into it.
All right.
An artificer who specializes as an armorer modifies armor to function almost like a second skin. The armor is enhanced to hone the artificer's magic, unleash potent attacks, and generate a formidable defense. The artificer bonds with this armor, becoming one with it, even as they experiment with it and refine its magical capabilities.
Look, honey, I made a skin to go on my skin. It's not skin, it's metal, but you get it, right?
So at level 3, the first feature you get is called Tools of the Trade. You gain proficiency with heavy armor. You also gain proficiency with smith's tools. If you already have this tool proficiency, you gain proficiency with one other type of artisan tools of your choice. At level 3, you also get armor spells. So you always have certain spells prepared after you reach particular levels in this class, as shown in the armor spell table. These spells count as artificer spells for you, but they don't count against the number of artificer spells you prepare. So at 3rd level, you get Magic Missile and Thunder Wave.
Okay.
At 5th level, Mirror Image and Shatter.
Nice.
At 9th level, you get Hypnotic Pattern and Lightning Bolt. At 13th level, you get Fire Shield and Greater Invisibility. And at 17th level, you get Pass Wall and Wall of Force.
What the fuck is Pass Wall?
It's a great question. It's never come up on the show.
I'm going to look it up while you continue your business.
So you get a 3rd feature at 3rd level called Arcane Armor. Your metallurgical pursuits have led you to making an armor a conduit for your magic. As an action, you could turn a suit of armor you are wearing into arcane armor, provided you have smith's tools in hand. You gain the following benefits while wearing this armor. If the armor normally has a strength requirement, the arcane armor lacks this requirement for you. You can use the arcane armor as a spellcasting focus for your artificer spells. The armor attaches to you and can't be removed against your will. It also expands to cover your entire body, although you can retract or deploy the helmet as a bonus action. The armor replaces any missing limbs functioning identical to a limb it replaces. You can doff or don the armor as an action. The armor
strong.
Cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The armor continues to be arcane armor until you don another suit of armor or you die.
Or you die, in which nothing matters anymore. Okay, I got Pass Wall up too.
All right, yeah, let's go over it.
It's a 5th level spell. It takes one action to cast, has a range of 30 feet, lasts for an hour from Transmutation School. Let's see. A passage appears at a point of your choice that you can see on a wooden, plaster, or stone surface, such as a wall, a ceiling, or a floor, within range and lasts for the duration, which is 1 hour. You choose the opening's dimensions up to 5 feet wide, 8 feet tall, and 20 feet deep. The passage creates no instability in structure surrounding it.
Okay, cool. So you're not blasting a wall through anything. You're just kind of opening a portal.
Yeah, you're making a portal hallway.
A short portal.
When the opening disappears, any creatures or objects still in the passage created by the spell are safely ejected to an unoccupied space nearest to the surface on which you cast the spell. All right. All right. Yeah.
That's it?
That's it. That's okay. The whole thing. It's like, I need to get out of this fucking building.
I need to get to the other side of this wall.
Yeah. Like, okay. Get through this area or like, I need to...
I wonder why it's so high level. That feels more like a third level spell.
I mean, this feels pretty fucking powerful.
You think so?
Yeah, I could put someone in a 20-foot deep hole. Like, if I
I wasn't thinking about his combat capabilities. I was thinking about the utility.
There's some, but the utility is strong. I mean, there's magic items that take care of this as well.
That's
and
true.
There are higher level spells that can do like a more versatile version of this. Yeah. But
I'm
this
just thinking,
cool.
Like, the Artificer gets this at level 17.
I know.
Like, you guys are in SuperQuest are level 15 now, like, and we're doing, like, some high-level shit.
Yeah, we're kicking ass way beyond the spell's capabilities.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is a cool spell, and it can be unique. I can see the creativity, like, lurking there and what you can do with it. Check out SuperQuest Saga, though, our actual play podcast.
Finale's coming up.
Yep, the finale's coming up. A lot of people have started listening recently. Mm-hmm. I think because the whole campaign is just going to be like sitting there for you to enjoy. So please go check it out. Will DMs. And it's myself, your special guest, Jake, and friend of the show, Josh Freeland, as the players. It's been really great, rewarding experience.
Yes.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. And we're actually doing a Kickstarter for a campaign setting book. So
that's
by
true.
The time this episode airs, that should be live. So the link will be in the description. Check out the Kickstarter and help us support this awesome book.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have heard of us talk about it before. If you've been listening to this show for a long time and have heard about SuperQuest Saga a lot and have heard us recommend it over and over again, just know that the people that do listen to it really love it.
They're fanatical about it.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's
and
really
so am
great.
I.
and Mariko has put together a wonderful wiki to help like guide us all. We reference it like probably more than anybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's incredible. Like the following we have on that show.
Yeah. So there's a fourth feature at level 3. This is a very front-loaded subclass. It's called Armor Model. You can customize your arcane armor. When you do so, choose one of the following armor models, Guardian or Infiltrator. The model you choose gives you special benefits while you wear it. Each model includes a special weapon. When you attack with that weapon, you can add your intelligence modifier instead of strength or dex to the attack and damage rolls. You can change the armor's model whenever you finish a short or long rest, provided you have smith's tools in hand. So you can bounce back and forth.
So you can go between Guardian and Infiltrator,
absolutely,
depending on what you need.
So, Guardian. You design your armor to be in the front line of conflict. It has the following features. Feature 1, Thunder Gauntlets.
Ooh.
Each of the armor's gauntlets count as a simple melee weapon while you aren't holding anything in it, and it deals 1d8 thunder damage on hit. A creature hit by the gauntlet has disadvantage on attack rolls against targets other than you until the start of your next turn, as the armor magically emits a distracting pulse when the creature attacks someone else. So that's a nice little tanking ability.
I like that.
Defensive Field. As a bonus action, you can gain temporary hit points equal to your level in this class, replacing any temporary hit points you already have. You lose these temporary hit points if you doff the armor. You can use this bonus action a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. So you're out here pulling aggro. Here's a way to tank a little bit better.
I know. I was trying to think about what situations you're going to get put in that make you doff your armor. And the only one I could think of off the top of my head was the heat metal spell.
Yeah.
That seems bad. That seems like a really bad thing to happen to you.
Yeah, if you're wearing heavy armor for sure. Yeah. Which you probably are.
Luckily, it only takes an action to doff it. But you can, like, fuck up someone's, action economy by doing that.
Yeah. So the other model that you can go with is Infiltrator. You customize your armor for subtle undertakings. It has the following features. Number 1, Lightning Launcher. A gem-like node appears on one of your armored fists or on the chest, your choice. It counts as a simple ranged weapon with a normal range of 90 feet and long range of 300 feet, and it deals 1d6 lightning damage on hit.
Wow.
Once on each
That's
of your
of
turns.
Range.
Yeah, once on each of your turns when you hit a creature with it. You can deal an extra 1d6 lightning damage to that target. So
okay, there it is. I was going to say, I was like, okay, that looks a little weak. Mm-hmm. It's 2d6. Yeah. So yeah, that's good.
Powered steps. Your walking speed is increased by 5 feet.
Isn't there a rule where you always have to have... there's like a power walking like rule, and it makes people like do that movement, that really crazy hip swing.
Okay.
Because it's an Olympic sport.
Oh, okay, okay.
So there's
rules
to how your feet are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And like the amount of speed you can get out of doing it has to be like technique based. They're definitely doing that with powered steps.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And finally, you get a feature called dampening field. You have advantage on dexterity stealth checks. If the armor normally imposes disadvantage on such checks, the advantage and disadvantage cancel each other as normal.
Okay, if you have advantage on dex, the armor. Okay,
but if you're wearing plate, it just neutralizes.
You can sort of sneak, probably, if you roll well.
Yeah.
That's what all that means.
At fifth level, you get an extra attack.
Okay.
You attack twice rather than once.
That's good.
When you take an attack action.
That's good. That's good for this.
Yeah, good for you.
Congratulations.
At ninth level, you get a feature called armor modifications. You learn how to use your artificer infusions to specially modify your arcane armor. The armor now counts as separate items for the purposes of your infused items features. Oh, so like the chest piece, the boots, the helmet all count as different items, where before it was just one item.
Oh, I see. So you can compartmentalize everything and boost based off of those separate things.
Absolutely.
Cool. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. In addition, the maximum number of items you can infuse at once increases by 2. That is very, very handy.
Yes, absolutely. So
like you're definitely using your armor modification or your infusions on yourself with this one. I think a lot of the other artificers, you're using it on friends. This, you're definitely powering your suit up.
Yeah, you need to do what you can for yourself to make your armor like worth wearing.
Yeah, the synergy is just too good to not do.
So. Yeah, so you could do it on other people though, right?
Yeah, you still can. Okay. It's just like... I mean, but why would you?
That's exactly right. Why would you? Let us know in the comments below. Why would you do that? Why the fuck would you do that? What the fuck are you doing?
So the final feature you get for the armor subclass is called Perfected Armor. You get it at 15th level. Your arcane armor gains additional benefits based on its model type. We'll start with Guardian. When a huge or smaller creature you can see ends its turn within 30 feet of you, you can use your reaction to magically force it to make a strength saving throw against your spell save DC. On a failed save, you pull the creature up to 25 feet directly to an unoccupied space. If you pull the target to a space within 5 feet of you, you can make a melee weapon attack against it as part of this reaction.
Fucking clothesline them.
Yeah, you basically you gravity pull them into you and clock them in the face. You can use this reaction number times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses of it when you finish a long rest.
That's good.
Infiltrator. Any creature that takes lightning damage from your lightning launcher glimmers with magical light until the start of your next turn. The glimmering creature sheds dim light in a 5-foot radius and has disadvantage on attack rolls against you as the lightning jolts it if it attacks you. In addition, the next attack roll against it has advantage. If the attack hits, the target takes an extra 1d6 lightning damage. So that's a little extra DPS. It's not... stellar, but it's good.
Yeah, like both of these are just like, okay, this is cool. This is a fairly weak level 15 feature.
I think so too. And I think in this case it's okay because like you got a lot going on with this whole armor thing. You're heavy armored even when normally you wouldn't be able to be that tanky.
The front loading outweighs everything.
I think so. And then being able to just infuse everything on you and you get extra infusions, like I think this balances out pretty well.
Yeah.
Based off what I see.
That stealth thing is super important for like just being in a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's good. That's a really good feature that I think kind of helps outweigh.
All right.
Some of the detriments of this class.
All right, well, we're going to build two armor characters on this show, but before we do that, let's take a short rest.
We're going to build someone who builds.
Indeed.
Short rest. Shout out to Team Gorgon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We are back.
We are.
You know what you could do? We've given you half an episode, and we're going to give you the other half. But if you guys want, you can go to Patreon to support us. It helps us get through the second half of every episode.
It's true.
Singing about patrons and Patreon and all the cool stuff that goes on there, like early episodes without any ads and things like that, things of that nature, notes and character sheets that we make for the second part of our character-based episodes, our subclass episodes.
Yep, they're all in there.
They get uploaded there. So yeah, check it out. Patreon.com/thedungeoncast. It is the single best way to support us. The second best way is to leave some sort of review, whether it's an Apple Podcast review or a Spotify review or a like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. All that stuff is awesome. So thank you guys so much for doing all that to everyone who has. And to everybody who hasn't, fucking go. Can you just do it?
Just do it.
Can you just Nike that shit up a little bit, you know? You're right there. Stop what you're doing and go handle it. Go handle it. That $5 a month, it's, you know, less than a cup of coffee. It goes a long way. Maybe it's just about as much of a cup. I don't know what kind of coffee you're drinking, honestly.
That's a good point.
A Starbucks is expensive. And
not if you just get the plain coffee, though.
Exactly. See, there's so much variation here. Yeah. How about we like a bit? If you're getting big frappuccinos, stop, because you shouldn't be doing that.
Okay, what's your go-to? What's your go-to Starbucks drink? I need to know this now.
Oh man, it's iced green tea with no sweetener.
Oh really? That's your go-to?
A venti iced green tea with no sweetener.
Yep. I get the
gets me fucking going.
I get the sweet cream cold brew.
I
love it. It's so good.
So cool. The cold brews and other coffees make my tummy do strange backflips.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. It's probably the dairy, you know?
It's a combination of everything in there.
Okay.
It's
definitely
including the caffeine. My body requires
caffeine sensitivity.
Clean, unsugarless caffeine.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah. So instead of spending my money on frappuccinos, I just support the Dungeon Cast, which is a weird loophole where I like lose money paying myself. All right.
Ready to talk about character? You're going first, right?
I think I am, yeah.
All right,
am
go
I?
For it. Tell me about your character, Brian.
It's fucking initiative. Oh, I win.
Oh, wait. Well, okay. It was an 18. Are we doing this? Okay, you win.
Okay, yeah, I win. I have a +5 to initiative on this character because I put into some decks, which I thought was fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My character is a medium Herengon named Jacqueline Robodabit. Welcome to the Herengonverse, everybody. It's back.
Okay, can we start for the top? What's his name? Jacqueline?
Jacqueline.
And Robodabit?
Robodabit.
Is he blue? WDWDI.
Sorry,
I don't know why it reminded me of that. Tell me about Jacqueline Robodabit.
Jackrabbit? Okay, with a bunch of stuff added in to not sound so much like Jackrabbit.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Jacqueline is a town guard. The background is actually pretty important, so let me go there first. where's the fucking background? There, I got it. A city watch / investigator. So the feature is the watcher's eye. You experience your experience in enforcing the law and dealing with lawbreakers. Gives you a feel for local laws and criminals. You can easily find the local outpost of the watch or a similar organization and just as easily pick out the dens of criminal activity in a community, although you're more likely to be welcome in the former locations rather than the latter because you're a fucking narc. I'm a narc. I think what's important here is my look. So Jacqueline is medium. He's like a kind of unassuming, normal-looking Herengon in a lot of ways.
All right.
With like a whisker mustache, I think.
Okay.
And their armor is like a really robust-looking, forearm-heavy build, I guess, where like the arms have like a gauntlet that has inserts for like javelins and spears, mm-hmm. and at the mm-hmm. end of that apparatus are maces. So my arms are maces with like, you know, like a Gatling style like look, circular around, like Tommy gun style around, and it's just like pokey shit everywhere at the ends.
Okay.
So I pull people in and hit them with the mace, or I'll fire the javelins out for range.
Oh, nice. That's
range
awesome.
Stuff. Yeah.
So you don't have hands.
I don't really have hands, and I've got like Wakanda shields.
Have you ever seen the movie Quest to Camelot? It's a really bad anime.
Yes, yes. I think so, a long time ago.
In this movie, one of the evil knights of the Round Table creates a concoction that he throws his minions into, along with weapons, and when they come out, they are weird amalgamations of the weapons he threw in plus themselves, and a lot of them have like maces for hands and axes for faces.
I remember that. Yeah, that's movie's animation style was like very fluid.
That
right?
movie, yes, that movie was terrible, by the way.
But it's good looking.
It looks good at first until you watch it.
Yeah, and now that I'm looking at some of the screenshots, there's a lot of like really like wide set eyes on some of the characters. That's
it's a god awful movie, and the music is terrible.
No,
it's so bad.
Yeah, some of the face drawings that I'm seeing in some of the stills are not good.
Yeah, this is not a movie that I'm like, it's so bad, but I love it. No, this is just a bad movie.
This quirky two headed dragon character doesn't look.
Not funny, and it's supposed to be comedy relief.
Okay, yeah, no, not great. Anyway.
But anyways, you could have an axe for a face and mace for hands, and that's what this is reminding me of.
Yeah, maybe the helmet has some sort of like, okay, yeah, a little bit like that. But I imagine the mace is somewhat retractable in some way. Like it could like go up into one of the slots or something.
Like
so
that.
I could have my hands out. I just picture it like the doffing and donning to be like a mechanical movement of the armor itself. Mm-hmm. It's probably magical in nature, but I do have shields. I do have javelins. I do have a breastplate, and I do have maces for hands. Yeah. Most of the time. So the stat layout was kind of fun this time. I used the standard array. I landed on a 0 or 10 strength, mm-hmm. +2 dex, 15, +2 con, 15, +2 intelligence, 14, +2 wisdom, 15, and a -1 in the charisma. I'm just like a bulky, I'm super lawful. I'm not taking anybody's shit, and I'm not really going to talk to you about it. I'm just going to like, are you obeying the law or not?
Okay, so you're like RoboCop.
A little bit like RoboCop, okay, but I'm part of an elite team of other RoboCops.
But you don't make your own armor. That's what I'm getting from this. Are you making your own armor?
I mean,
like you kind of pitched him as like this City Watch police dude, and I feel like he's being outfitted by someone else.
I think this is kind of like a guild sort of thing. Like we make all the here's the blueprint for the armor we use, mm-hmm. and you can do certain variations. And right now we need somebody that can launch javelins.
Okay, cool.
And so I end up making something like that. Like
okay.
I'm part of an elite system of guards that protects my Herengon city base or whatever mm-hmm. the fuck it is, like the hillside where we burrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm patrolling the shit out of that with other Herengon.
Yeah, other Herengon cops.
And there are rogue halflings that we have to fight all the
specifically
time.
Specifically rogue halflings.
Yeah, they're marauders.
Okay, I'm into it.
We've studied with the dwarves to make craft good and dig right and make stone things.
And robots.
Okay, so as this armored rabbit person, I have a 19 AC, a plus 5 initiative, proficiency bonus. I'm at level 7, it's plus 3. I'm rocking 52 HP. I've got intelligence and con saving throws at plus 5 each. This guy's pretty good. Insights plus 5, mm-hmm. investigation plus 5, medicine plus 5, perception plus 5. So I can heal my boys, or at least stop them from dying if I need to. Let's see here. Go into the inventory here in D&D Beyond and go to my infusions. We were talking about this when we were building, and Will and I built this before the episode recording today together. And it's just kind of hard to diversify your infusions a lot from artificer to artificer. Or artificer to artificer, or artificer to artificer. So I took enhanced defense. It's giving me a plus 1 bonus to AC while wearing my armor, which I should always be, or the shield, which will be infused. Armor of magical strength, repulsion shield, spell refueling ring to help me do that cool shit over and over again. Boots of the winding path, and the homunculus servant. So I guess I have like a tiny. Like a tiny version of myself as my homunculus that like helps me do shit, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
That seems like a cool idea. Like a little rabbit. I think I have proficiency and perception for my Herengon stuff. Let me get into the racial feats. Just to go over it again. As a Herengon, we get the hair trigger. You can add your proficiency bonus plus 3 to your initiative rolls, which is why it's so high. Leoprene senses. You have proficiency and perception skills. There it is. The lucky footwork. When you fail a dex saving throw, you can use your reaction to roll a d4 and add it to the save, potentially turning the failure into a success. I can't do that if I'm prone. And then I have the rabbit hop, which as a bonus action, I can jump 15 feet without provoking opportunity attacks. And you can only use this trait if your speed is greater than 0. You can use it 3 times and regain it. All the expended uses on a long rest. That's linked to my proficiency bonus. That's why it's plus 3 right now. I'm thinking I can like jump out of my armor as a last ditch effort with like one of these maces in my hand to go like whack somebody.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Or like I can use the jump to like get
Iron Man at the end of Infinity War when he's all out of armor and he just basically makes a little spear and it's his last.
Yeah, last stuff effort. Like that. Like I slip into the armor through the butt and all then I can jump out of the armor through the
for
shoulders.
A drop of blood. Sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
You probably don't want to know.
Okay.
Let's see. And then, yeah, spells. I didn't think the spells were super important for me to tack on here because it's going to be a lot of defensive magic. I'm going to make a really defensive character that can tank really hard and like shoot from range and like just really be a thorn in the enemy side, essentially, is the idea here. So my spells would like reflect that. Like magic miss, like the stock spells that come with this class are super great for what I'm trying to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
But yeah, that's it. That's Jacqueline Robidabit, a very, very lawful, very about home and keeping everybody safe. And like the adventuring protocols here would probably be like, well, I can't keep everybody safe if I stay here. So it's time to go fuck up some dungeon shit.
Okay. Yeah. Time to save the world.
Time to save the world.
Okay. That's awesome. Jacqueline
Robidabit.
Robidabit.
Roma Downey.
Okay, for sure. Roma Downey. Oh, my goodness.
Jack and Roba Davit.
All right. So I built a character.
No, you didn't. For this, liar.
For this character, we are venturing to the world of Strixhaven, to Strixhaven University, the School of Quandrix specifically, where we are going to meet a young human prodigy named Billy.
Let us know if you actually liked Strixhaven in the comments below or not.
Billy is a brilliant kid. He's also a very troubled child. He's been bullied a lot. He also has, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Arrogant, egotistical, megalomaniacal desires and wants in life.
Oh my God.
And he decided he was going to build a army of drone soldiers to not only take over the college, but take over the world.
Ooh.
And his first prototype.
First, I'll take over college. Then the world.
Was a robot he named Hal.
Yeah.
But what he did not, what he intended to do was to build a drone that would follow orders. What he accidentally did was build a conscious AI. So Hal is technically a Warforged, but he's essentially a sentient robot. I mean, what is a Warforged? But anyways, he's basically a sentient robot.
Yeah, Warforged have like wooden joints and stuff, right?
Yeah, not Hal.
Not Hal. And not this guy.
The armor that he gets as an armor artificer is truly integrated. He cannot take this off, which is good because it doesn't need to. It's not like he needs to take a piss break or anything like that.
Yeah, he's doffing it, just like tucking it away to reveal his like undercarriage or whatever.
Okay. His undercarriage, oh no. But yeah, absolutely. Hal is, unlike his creator, Hal is a innocent and naive newly created being who does not desire to do the terrible things that Billy wants him to do.
He's so innocent, he doesn't know when it's appropriate to have his undercarriage exposed or not.
It's so true. So Hal has fled Strixhaven, and Billy has basically told, you know, the officials at the college that like a rogue AI robot capable of great destruction has escaped.
Yeah, and they were like, why were you building something capable of great destruction?
And I think Billy is the type of sociopath to like come up with some sort of excuse of like, you know, he didn't mean to do it and this and that, blah, 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 blah. But what Billy really wants is to get his hands back at Hal so we can reprogram him.
Yeah, yeah.
So the villain for this campaign is a small child.
A small child. You've accidentally recreated the plot of the latest Dragon Ball movie.
Is that like a thing?
That's pretty much it, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, as a child making robots.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, here we are. So Hal has an armor class of 19, plus 3 constitution, plus 3 intelligence. He's only level 6, but almost as much as HP as Blue Dabadi Dabadi over here at 51. He's trained in Arcana, History, Investigation, Nature, and Religion. I picture this as he's got, like, much like Ultron, he's got, like, just a database that he can, like, tap into and, like, let me pull this up.
I like that.
Yeah. I also kind of integrated this with his cartographer tools and navigator tools. That's really just his database being able to, like, have GPS.
That's cool. You can do sick burns on people if they, like, people from the college are, like, coming to find you as, like, repercussions from Billy's bullshit. Like, oh, we have to find the robot. So now people from the college are like looking, hunting you down.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what's the robot's name?
Hal.
Hal. Hal, where are you going? Calculating coordinates to your mom's house.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Let me see here. For spells, I have Firebolt and Guiding Bolt, which of course are just reflavored like blasters.
Sure.
Let me look at his infusions. So his infusions are very similar to yours.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I picture like a mad scientist Billy, like with like a blowtorch, like I'm going to give him enhanced weapon, enhanced defense.
He's like crushing up power gems.
Yeah.
Like, burning them.
Repulsion
into the metal.
Shield. Okay. Resistant armor, magical strength, and radiant weapon. He will be an unstoppable force.
And the camera pans beyond the lab door and like the silhouette of him through the glass window.
Yeah, like, ah! Exactly. Yes, exactly. But beyond that, he's a pretty standard armorer, artificer. Everything's gonna be reflavored to the suit.
I'm sure if I tried really hard in the mechanics part, I could like make a more unique thing. In terms of the infusions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to take some sit down and some time and some tinkering. And that's kind of like, it's not intuitive to the build to vary from this so much, like the thing we've done.
Right. And then, you know, like I gave him the jump spell and the levitate spell to kind of simulate like, you know, the powered armor of Iron Man being able to jump high or fly a little bit, you know?
You give it a like a they them pronoun.
Yeah, I could. They are a person. It's not just an it. You're right. And I mean, oh, and I also gave Hal the sharpshooter feat because had Billy install a +3 crossbolt into his cannon arm.
Nice.
And yeah, I just wanted Hal to be real good at shooting. That's so I'm picturing cool like again like a targeting system, like.
Yeah, so you're doing like blasts.
Yeah, yeah.
My guy's doing like
punch. Like, yeah, the javelins. That's pretty cool.
It's fun.
And that's how. That's all I got, guys. I built this last minute, but I'm actually pretty happy with it. So
yeah, I mean, like it's like we said, it's hard to get a lot of variation out of these. It's mostly maybe the spells you pick are gonna have a lot to do with that.
Yeah, yeah. And then the background that you give it, you know.
Yeah, and then the tinkering in between, I think, is some cool flavor, too. Like, there's a lot here that you can do in the role play, but the mechanics are what they are.
Mm-hmm,
I'm just going to go out and say that I don't like this.
Oh, you don't like this class?
No. I've generally found, because this is our last cover of the Artificer, right?
Yes.
So now that I've seen all of them, I'm very underwhelmed.
By all of them?
By all of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
For the amount of work this class takes to run, it's like not rewarding for that amount of like. Let's put it this way: if I had one D&D game and an Artificer was the only thing I had going on, then I could probably get a lot out of it. But like building it in these episodes for just like NPC creation and stuff like that. Not a lot. Like,
you weren't very inspired.
No. Okay. Like, it's cool. I like the building aspect. And maybe part of it is that we've done like 4 in a row.
Yeah, that could be part of it.
But I like the flavor that we've seen across. Like, you can get diverse with them.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a lot of work. Like, this is if you have a really involved player that wants a lot to do, this is a great thing to put them on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I will say this is definitely not something any new player should latch onto for sure.
Yeah, we've covered that a little bit. It's like, this is very difficult for new players, especially we did our first Artificer. I was like, oh, shit, I can't equip items. Like, it's the infusion. Like, you should have basic items and turn them into magic items is the concept here. Not just because we had been building characters and putting magic items on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, okay, we can't. You don't do that. You don't do that with this class. You make all your shit,
right?
And that's cool if you want a lot of control over that. Like, if you're into magic items and into like the like somebody that builds mechanically, is a lot of cool stuff.
So the way I feel about it is, generally, I do like it. I like the armorer and the artillerist specifically the best. Those seem the most blasty and explodey and fun. I think the battlesmith is also pretty cool. The pet is nice. It's, you know, you're essentially like a robotics major, and that's really cool. The only one that I outright don't like is the alchemist, which sucks because I like the idea of alchemy in D&D.
Oh man, in other systems it's very good. Like alchemists are very cool. Like Blades in the Dark, holy shit, that alchemist is so cool.
For sure.
And it has a lot of similar things, but it's just like way more powerful in Blades in the Dark.
I'm of the opinion that the alchemist as an idea should be its own class and not a subclass of the artificer. That's just my personal thought.
I agree.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So, other than that, like I enjoy it well enough. I don't mind how it's complicated. We didn't build an artillerist.
No, because we were with
We were with Rob, and I think I did have an idea though where I was going to build like a mad kind of scientist goblin evil NPC.
Okay.
I had Tink the Tank for the and that was fun.
Yeah.
But of the four characters that I built, I think I like the one I built today the most story wise.
Okay. So. Cool.
But yeah, I'm kind of ambivalent on the class. It's fine. I would change some things.
Yeah, my character concept for the alchemist was really good, but the alchemist sucks. So
yeah, the alchemist like, wasn't whatever. Great. All right, well, with that being said, let's get ready for a long rest.
All right. Shout out to Team Gorgon, oh yeah! Hey everybody, welcome to the long rest. This is the part of the episode where we build a bed to go to sleep in.
Absolutely.
And it's made of metal.
Indeed.
And I've infused it to sleep.
And I'm capable of sleeping standing while in it.
Yes. It's like a Murphy bed. It just doesn't come down. You
absolutely.
Sleep standing up. It's, the metal, it's magnetic. It hugs you in a very artificery way.
I like it.
Yeah. Go to bed with us. That is to say, here are the things we talk about after the show when we get ready for the long rest, which is keep an eye out. Roll Perception. You did great. You found it. It's the Draken Star Kickstarter, which is the setting name of the SuperQuest Saga, the show.
Indeed. So we are coming out with a campaign setting book based off of the podcast, SuperQuest Saga, which, of course, we created and are in. It is a science fiction slash high fantasy kind of blend in the far future of D&D. And if you're interested, keep your eye out. We should be launching the Kickstarter on September 1st.
Neat. Yeah, so that should be like next week. And if you go back 1 week, the Spelljammer contest is over. We'll be reaching out to someone if we haven't already. We likely, very likely have already reached out to you, and your book is very likely on the way.
If not there.
Yeah, because it's been like a week. We're recording this ahead of time, so, you know, I assume it's been done.
Yeah, it probably has been.
So thank you to everybody who participated in the contest. I hope we got a good turnout because the whole idea is to spread the word about the Dungeon Cast. Get the word about the show out there because this is a great product and we want people to know about it. So if you have somebody that likes D&D, generally speaking, wants a cool podcast to relax to with some hosts that are going to be your best buddies, then put them onto the Dungeon Cast. If you are a DM that's looking to... you know, get ready for a game and you want to prep a monster or a god real quick, you don't really have the time, or maybe you've got an extra like 40 minutes to kill on a drive, you could totally put on one of our episodes and just kind of passively learn D&D. Pass that information along. Let people know that this show is a great resource for players and DMs alike. And if you're just like want some D&D talk with some buddies looking for a good time, you know, tell people about the Dungeon Cast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, well said, man. Absolutely.
You can go, if you want to support us more directly than that, even like Will and I directly, you can go to patreon.com/thedungeoncast. You get a lot of cool benefits and the tiers there, including early episodes of this show ad free, along with show notes and character sheets like the ones we made today. They'll be there. You can also get, if you're a fan of SuperQuest Saga, the OST is there. You can listen to that along with some cool merch stuff. But another great way to support us is to leave an Apple Podcast review. You want to 5-star that bad boy and write something nice? We'd really appreciate it. We do see them all. We get a report about it. And I love to read them. And the bad ones are funny and they're very few and far between. They're usually hilarious. They don't make sense. So yeah, thank you guys so much for all your 5-star reviews. It's super helpful. One, it's another great way to get the word out about the show. Other things you can do are go to Twitter, follow us there. That's where you can find like contest info and stuff, including Instagram, stuff like TikTok out there. You can go to our Discord where there are there is a great community of people, like-minded Dungeons and Dragons people that want to host games or help you build your characters or help you world build or just chat D&D or off topic. You talk about whatever you want, like Iron Man. Or just anything. There's a really great art community in there too, people drawing and getting constructive criticisms, and everybody that I interact with on there is extremely nice, including but not limited to our moderators and administrators on there. Thank you guys so much for everything you do.
Seriously, thank you guys.
And yeah, so keep an eye out for contests in the future, and you know, there's cool stuff happening on Patreon. Some changes are going to get made. We're going to start recording on Hollowed, which is a grim, dark horror campaign that Will's going to run on there.
Indeed.
It's going to be full production on that, music and sound effects and stuff like that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check us out on those platforms. And if not, we'll see you next time on this show. Let's call it a game.
Let's call it a game. Talk to you guys later.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him. Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.